Hi, this is Steve. I've been a listener of The Drive for, I don't know, so many years, probably from the beginning. I just want to say to you guys, you're doing such an incredible job that I had to call. And PR, I guess, was the best way to do it. Playing the national anthem, playing the music that you do, inspiring DJs that completely get it. Not dramatizing the world, but getting the information to people at a time when we really need it. It's gotten me through a lot. I can tell you that. So I want to thank you guys very much for all the work that you're doing and all that you've done. Best station Chicago's ever had. My name's Steve. I am The Drive. Sounds like a commercial, but it's true.
That particular piece of audio from a real person represents probably hundreds that I've received in the last, well, since we started playing the anthem, which was mid-March. But the emotional, the evocative nature of just playing the national anthem twice a day is just floored me. I mean, it's just incredible. And so I've got, as I said, there's probably hundreds of people who have either emailed or called the request line or called and left me messages on my desk phone. Equally passionate and just such an outpouring of emotion over, you know, over that relatively insignificant amount of time we spend each day on playing the national anthem. So,
yeah, one of the things to me, when I listen to this caller, one of the things he says in there is, you guys are doing such a great job, I had to call. Right? Mm-hmm. He uses the words, I had to call, which,
right.
You know, who has to call with compliments anymore? You know, everybody has mm-hmm. to call with complaints, but who calls with compliments? And so that's a level of passion that, you know, I don't think you see too often anymore. You've been a program director a long time, and now that you've mentioned that there's, you know, I mean, you're seeing hundreds of people calling your desk phone. First of all, have you ever seen anything at all like this?
I don't think I've ever seen an outpouring that's been this consistent and this strong. I think that probably after 9/11 would be the closest when
mm-hmm.
I probably did something similar. I was working in Memphis at the time, and I think that we did something that was perhaps similar to that, and at least something that was indicated unity and, you know, brought the community together. And for that, I think people are prone to reach out and say thank you, but not at this magnitude. This has been surprisingly overwhelming.
So what is it about playing the national anthem that you guys did that made it special? I mean, one thing in particular, it would seem, is that you really made it a benchmark, right? It wasn't like some stations
right.
will just play it, don't take credit for it, or play it at certain times here and there, but you made it a marketing message on the station, it sounds like.
Well, right, that's tricky because it does play without additional fanfare or commentary, because I was very cautious because I didn't want to be perceived as pandering or, you know, being political in any way or,
right.
You know, so that's a tricky widget. We started 16th of March, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Playing the national anthem at midnight, 6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m. So four times a day, every day. And that was responsive to the national lockdown, when I just felt like people needed to have some kind of something that was a ray of hope, a ray of something that was unifying, something that could be hopefully perceived as a moment of bonding, a moment of national togetherness.
Yeah.
And from the onset, it was recognized, and you know, the thank yous started to pour in. By the time we got 2 or 3 weeks in and we were, you know, doing that 4 times a day, people were consistently, I mean, those, I was getting daily messages of thanks for airing the national anthem. And so then you start to get this outpouring of thanks and praise, and now I'm thinking, okay, well, how do we ever get to a place where perhaps we're not playing the national anthem 4 times a day? And I thought, okay, so July 4th was coming up, and I thought, okay, that's a good day to play the national anthem a whole bunch, and then on July 5th, we can back this off, and we'll go back to twice daily, because certainly we're still facing a national emergency, and I didn't want to just strip the station of something that was, that had become so popular. So July 5th, we backed off and started playing it at midnight and noon. And that day, the calls and notes were coming in saying, wait, what happened? Why'd you stop playing the national anthem? And I've responded to every one of these people and said, nope, we didn't stop. You can still get it at midnight and noon. We still feel strongly about this, as strongly as you do. And, you know, we just resumed regular programming at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. And mm-hmm. people understood that, as long as it wasn't just stripped off the station, they were okay with it. But I think a lot of people, the way that they described it to me was that it had become a benchmark. So people were setting their internal clocks by this thing. And yeah. they hear the national anthem, they know it's either 12 or 6 a.m. or p.m. and so many of them, that they stop what they're doing and just observe, you know, this couple of minutes of silence while they listen to it, no matter what they're doing, where they are. So that's fulfilling, and you know, it's gratifying to know that we can still do something in 2020 on the radio that absolutely changes and affects people in such a way that they're changed behaviorally, which is incredible.
Right. And emotionally. Yeah. Right.
Right. Right.
You know, I'm just curious, back to the execution of how you did it. So you played it 4 times a day, but you just, so was there no intro or
nope.
outro about it? Yeah, just played it.
Nothing. It
yeah.
just appears. That's it.
Wow.
And again, I just felt like there were a lot of ways we could do that, and the jocks could have front announced it live, or we could have had a specially produced intro, but that felt to me like it was too much. And
yeah.
I think that the simplicity of it just airing at the top of those hours was best suited to the message we were trying to convey.
What were some of the other things that people said to you, you know, about the playing of the anthem?
First, thank you for a great radio station. I've been listening for a long time, and I think that WDRV has been getting better all the time, and that's difficult because you've always been the best. I'm a patriotic Vietnam veteran and truly appreciate the playing of our fantastic national anthem. I've heard it at noon and 6 p.m. I've spread the word at my American Legion and VFW. Personally, I would love to hear it at 6, 12, 6 on a daily basis. If you did that or something similar, you would be improving an already great radio station. You know, there's an overwhelming sense of patriotism, which one of them that I just read to you indicates. And I think that as divisive as the nation is right now politically, this is just an opportunity for people to take a deep breath and feel united.
You walked this tightrope, really, because draw outside of the lines and you know, start doing things that are, you know, more than a Led Zeppelin promo, or things that that people expect from whatever your format is, right? And you start going into, you know, more news reports and doing things like the national anthem. It was really this, you know, it could have, a slightly different presentation could have made a whole different result, right? As you pointed out,
right.
A different execution of the national anthem with a bunch of you know, stagers and production could have changed the entire reaction. And
yeah, I think that's really true.
you know, when you think about, you know, finding these super fans that have this level of passion for the radio station, you know, going forward, you know, where do you find more of them, and what other things do you do to get them passionate and excited about the station?
Well, I think the differentiator is that these are seize the moment kind of occurrences. These are it's not opportunistic. That's just not the right shade to color this.
Yep.
This is more about being in the minute. It's about being connected to a community. It's about thinking the same way as so many of your constituents do. It's about super serving fans who are, you know, experiencing some of the worst times of their lives and trying to affect a change of mood, a change of attitude, something that's unifying, something that that people can feel is tangible and makes them part of a larger group. You know, it's having arms outstretched and welcoming people into the club without those people having to jump through one hoop. You know, I mean, it's as easy as
right.
being a part of a family. And I think that is what's most important. You know, having the resources, having the staff, and not only having the staff, but having the staff who has been coached to a level to understand the importance of aligning with the community and understands the importance of amplifying a particular mood or a spirit. And with all of that in place, I think that, you know, when things change culturally, when things change politically, when things change surprisingly, we're able to pivot and adapt and be chameleon-like so that we can, you know, be in the moment with so many people in Chicago and beyond.